Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel. I'm excited about today's topic because it's something that I love to use, but it's also something that can go horribly wrong if you don't use it correctly. So let's go ahead and just jump into it.
That's a really good point. Hopefully we can straighten some of that out. You know, every day it gets worse. Not today's topic, but the struggle to get people's attention. It's always been hard, but never like this before. Too many things and too many people are competing for our attention at any given moment. And this may seem like a particular problem for us copywriters, since we've been trained to start every message with a headline or a subject line. And nothing wrong with that. But there is a way of using words that is scientifically proven to get and hold attention better than anything else. And that's a story. Now, you know, we're hardwired at birth to blot everything else out except a life-threatening emergency when a good story is being told. So how do you tell a story in your headline or in your lead or in your opening paragraph? You know, without launching into an old, tired, never-ending hero's journey story or a nightmare story. Well, there is a way, and it's much easier than you think. Since you've already been exposed to it for years without realizing people were using stories that way. And we'll tell you about that just as soon as we tell you about this. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast. And most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. Okay, Nathan, so before we get into some magical ways to combine stories with the opening of your copy, including right in the headline, let's take a look through time on the topic of getting attention in stories. And we'll start when I was in seventh grade. We had a teacher who was kind of awkward, and he would explode on a regular basis. He would roar, "I want, I expect, I demand your attention." And his face would be red, and we'd settle down for about 5 minutes and then go back to our shenanigans. See, trying to get and keep attention that way doesn't work very well. But you know what does? I'm going to give you a bunch of examples outside of copywriting, just from different forms of communication in life. And they're all stories, but you may not have thought of them as stories. So see if you can pick out the story in these. An opening song lyric: "Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play." A really stupid joke: "When your nose is kind of runny, you may think it very funny." I'll stop there. An advertising jingle: "Call Roto Rooter, that's the name, and away go problems down the drain." An advertising slogan: "Melts in your mouth, not in your hand." Even a company name, and this is from 2024, We Feed Raw, pet food company. What these examples all have in common is that each of them is a story. Now, most people would not think of them as a story. I admit that. But I'll also say without hesitation that they are, because they describe something that happened or something that happens. And this is important because most of us are trying to get attention, and most of us don't realize how simple and short a story can be. And when I say story, I'm basically talking about what the brain recognizes as a story, not what the associate professor of intermingled literature at Nowhere State calls a story, but what your brain calls a story. And most of us don't really know that humans are hardwired to pay attention to stories whenever and wherever they are told. But we are. Science has proven this conclusively. And you can see this happening over and over every day if you take time to look for it. Okay, so I've got three examples, three sets of examples. Each set has an actual headline where the headline itself is a story, a lead, the first sentence, which is a story, and a opening paragraph, a micro story, three or four sentence story. And I'm going to do them in three sets. The first set will be first person, I statements. The second one will be second person, you statements. And the third person, that's them statements, they or he or she, one or more people besides you or me.
I want to go back real quick to the We Feed Raw. If you're a pet owner and you know about the explosion in cancer rates in pets, and you know about all of the different inflammation problems that pets have nowadays, and you know about all of the kind of subpar food that pets get nowadays, and you hear three simple words like We Feed Raw, that is a powerful story, and it allows you to create a story in your own mind about what goes into the food, the quality of the food, why they care so much about your pets, how you care about your pet by buying this type of food. So you mentioned a story can be short as three words. And man, if I heard of a company or if I saw a company and it said We Feed Raw, all of a sudden there's a very powerful story. And like you said, three words.
Yeah, I actually saw the box because a neighbor of mine has a lot of dogs. She boards them and she walks them. And I thought, wow, that is a story. It's amazing. And of course it worked. She bought it. Sure, a lot of people do. So cool. Great observation. Yeah. And, you know, you make another point, which is really important. The more the story is relevant to something your prospect cares about, the better. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So now let's jump into first person stories. And I'm telling you, these are hard to pull off and copy right out of the chute, but sometimes they can work. And I'll take examples where they have worked from well-known ads in history to show how they can work. So the first thing is using a first person story in the headline. Now, notice this is a story. It's about something that happened. Also notice it has a beginning and a middle, but not an end. So it not only gets attention as a story, but because there's an open loop there, it practically forces the reader to keep reading. And here's that famous headline. It's from John Caples. They laughed when I sat down at the piano, but when I began to play, okay, right away you got, and of course, you know, that was his first one. And, you know, he wrote a variation. They laughed when I spoke to the waiter in French, but when he answered me or something. And we'll get into what comes next a little later on in this section, but I just want to point out, they laughed when I sat down at the piano. So they're saying it happened, but when I began to play, that's like a consequence, a result of what happened. And that's a story.
What I love about that headline in particular is it reminds me of, or every time I think of it, I think they laughed when I sat down and wrote a headline that was an incomplete sentence. But once they saw the sales letter.
That's pretty good. I like that. Okay. Let's look at first person and lead. So we've got our headline, which is not a story. And this is from Joe Carbo's famous ad for the book with the headline and the title of the book, same thing, The Lazy Man's Way to Riches. And his lead is, I used to work hard. That's the lead. I used to work hard. That's a story. Very brief story. And then he continues for three sentences telling his story. And then he pivots to his main proposition, which is where he shows you, where he promises to show you how to make more money by working less. And the third thing is how to open your copy right away with a story that's only a few paragraphs long. And this is from the Caples ad. So after they laugh when I sat down at the piano, they say, he says, Arthur had just played the rosary. The room rang out with applause, but then he abruptly switched to first person micro story. I decided that would be a dramatic moment for me to make my debut. To the amazement of all my friends, I strode confidently over to the piano and sat down. And then he talks about his victorious mini concert at the party. So there are a lot of great things about those ads, and they are famous and they made a lot of money. And I wouldn't say starting with a story is the entire secret of their success, but it sure got things off to a good start.
Yeah, and what I really like about these examples, especially with stories, I mean, we could do a whole episode on why stories work so well, but for these instances, it's about taking you out of the frustration and the situation that you're dealing with, and it immediately shifts. So right now you're feeling powerless, you're feeling helpless, you're feeling frustrated, and I take that and I shift you into this story of me or somebody just like you. And now it's not you with your hopeless situation. It's you're in this story that you can relate to, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And that just that simple shift of hopelessness to a light at the end of a tunnel, using a story to take somebody and pull them away from their situation and put them in a situation of hope is such a powerful just mindset shift that can happen in, like you said, one sentence, half of a sentence.
It really can. Now, you know, you don't want to just, you might want to spend a little time refining it and brainstorming different possibilities, but very powerful. All right, let's try second person. And second person stories are about you, not you, Nathan, you, the prospect. They talk directly to the prospect. And I've included a couple of examples from a hypothetical YouTube ad training program called YouTube Trampoline Response Method. Now, these kind of headlines are harder to do in the first person and third person, and we'll get into details as to why, but they can still work. So let's look at this second person headline. Once your YouTube start performing like this, your clients will stop making all those friendly suggestions. And anyone who's written copy for a client knows exactly what those suggestions are. Now, this is a little tricky. It's not quite as believable. It's still a story. It still has those story powers, but it's a story in the future. In other words, once this happens, then that will happen. And you could put a second person story in the past in the headline, but the risk is, in many cases, you don't know if what you're telling the person happened to them actually did ever happen to them. Like, when you found your teenager was taking hard drugs, what you first felt was overwhelm. Maybe that didn't happen. You don't know. Now, let's say your list or your target market is a very select group, and you know that it's only going to be read by people like that or seen by people like that if it's a video. Like, let's say former students in a music conservatory, you might be able to get away with a second person story in the past in your headline. On your first day of conservatory, you had a very urgent concern. How am I going to learn all of this? Okay, so here's the second person in the lead for the YouTube course. You can get the same amazing results with your YouTube ads that I got for my client when you follow my simple three-step formula. And this is a little tricky. You can get is in the future. What I got for my client is in the past. So when it happened in the past, there's more believability, but it could still work. And here's a whole second person opening micro story. When you first start using the YouTube trampoline response method, you're not sure if the tingle you're feeling is one of worry or one of excitement. That debate gets settled quickly when you start to see results like you've never seen before. The numbers are fantastic, but even better is the new level of respect your client has for you. Again, I'm going to say of all the three types, the second person stories are possible, but not really as useful or versatile or easy to make work as the first person or third person stories. And we'll get to third person story headlines, story leads, and opening stories next. Nathan, do you have any thoughts about this? Have you ever used it?
Yeah. So what I'm thinking of as far as second person stories go is, I'm going to butcher it, but are you making these common mistakes in English? Or there was something along those lines for like learning English as a second language class. And it was present tense. Are you making? So I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think the actual headline was, do you make these mistakes in English? Yeah. And that's in present. And that's a really good point. I didn't think of that when I was putting this podcast together, but I'm glad you thought of it. Yeah, if you tell a story in the form of a question, which is a really fine needle to thread, that can work really well. And especially, boy, that can be hard because usually you don't want to ask a yes-no question in the headline, but you can't really answer that yes or no until you know what these mistakes are. And once you start reading the ad, you get taken into a different world. So that's a really good example, and that might be the solution to this problem.
And it also goes back to the point that you made about creating an open loop. If I read that headline and I am somebody who's from another country trying to learn the native language, it's going to be almost impossible for me not to figure out what those mistakes are. So I'm going to have to read the rest of that message.
Yeah, so that one would definitely work. Let's talk about third-person stories where there's one or two people in the story. If you're looking to put a story in your headline or your lead or your opening paragraph, your third person is almost always your safest bet. It's the easiest of the three categories because it's how we normally tell stories, when we're not talking about ourselves. Did you see what he put on Facebook yesterday? And then you tell what he put on Facebook yesterday. That's how we would tell a story, when we're not talking about ourselves. So let's start with a classic from David Ogilvy. And he puts this in quotes. At 60 miles an hour, the loudest noise in this new Rolls Royce comes from the electric clock. I mean, that's great. And really, that's a third person story. The car is moving at 60. You're listening for noises. The loudest thing you can hear is a tick, tick on the clock. So that's a story. And we're going to turn to the great Gary Halbert for the next two examples. For the lead, let's listen to what Halbert wrote in an ad for a golf ball that he speculated might become illegal on golf courses because it flies too far. Right. So here's third person lead. A small golf company in Connecticut has created a powerful new ball that flies like a U2, putts with the steady roll of a cue ball, and bites the green on approach shots like a dropped cat. I mean, it's funny, and it's also a story. And that's like the first sentence of the ad. Then, let me read the first sentence along with the rest of the paragraph. A small golf company in Connecticut has created a powerful new ball that flies like a U2, putts with the steady roll of a cue ball, and bites the green on approach shots like a dropped cat. But don't look for it on weekend TV. Long-hitting pros could make a joke of some of golf's finest courses with it. One pro who tested the ball drove it 400 yards, reaching the green on all but the longest par fours. Scientific tests by an independent lab using a hitting machine proves the ball outflies 15 major brands by up to 22 yards. Now, that's interesting because he really has three micro stories in there. The story about the golf ball, the story about the pro and the pros, and then the story about scientific tests. I mean, Halbert was a genius, and he knew how to do things no one else has really ever done before or since. And he's got a lot of stories in there. And to the naked eye, if you're just thinking, I'm reading something interesting about a golf ball, you don't realize there are all those stories in there.
I'm going to shift gears just slightly and get your take on another very good copywriter and also a golf inspired piece of copy, John Carlton's one-legged golfer story. And that was such a powerful sales letter. I wanted to get your take on the, and that was also a third person story. So I wanted to get your take, if you had any, on that particular piece.
Well, unlike a lot of people, I don't have it memorized, but you know, I mean, his headline alone is seems kind of long. If you break it down, you'll find every word does a job and it couldn't be any shorter. But yeah, I mean, he's telling an interesting story. He's also creating a certain amount of shock, a certain amount of dissonance. What does he call it? Incongruous juxtaposition. That's his favorite phrase for that kind of thing. Because, you know, most golfers know that it really, you know, a lot of your power comes how you swing your hips and how you plant your feet. And this guy's only got one of them. So how is he doing all this amazing stuff? So there was a certain amount of shock. And yeah, I wish I had the headline right here, but I don't have it memorized, like I can say.
All I remember about that was the story of that I told myself when I read it, which was, wait, if this guy can do it with one leg, there's no reason that I can't do it. So I need to figure out what he knows that I don't know. And that was such a power. Again, it was a story that I told myself. John Carlton didn't say that, but off of what he wrote, that's what I told myself. That's the story I told myself. And it was a great example of a third person story that really did a lot of selling.
Yeah. And I know Carlton, we've never talked about that headline. We've talked about just about everything else. In fact, we've talked about everything else except copywriting. But I'd be willing to bet you a dollar that he was not thinking, oh, how can I tell a story here? You know, it's like this sort of came organically from, you know, he just thought, what's a good hook? And maybe he was doing research and he found out that one-legged golfer was using this method. He just naturally knows how to do it. But you can learn it deliberately and explicitly, because I think if you start to go through a lot of, now, not everything. I mean, if you look at a lot of Joe Sugarman's stuff, you know, he'll have like two words, and they might be really surprising words for his headline. So, you know, it depends on your style. And you might want to not have a story in your headline. Lazy Man's Way to Riches didn't, and start with a story in your copy. But again, I mean, one important point I wanted to make is you don't have to put all your chips on, you know, some 1500 word story or, you know, some 10 minute story in a VSL and say, okay, check the box story. Because, you know, the brain is not checking boxes. The brain is just, the brain of the reader is just responding to what they're reading or what they're hearing or what they're seeing. And when it's in story form, they pay more attention. And you can have more than one story. You can even have more than one story in the paragraph. We just did that with the Halbert golf ad, first paragraph.
And a key point about all of this is that when I'm reading a sales letter or something that I know is a promotion or a pitch, I'm in skepticism reading mode. But when I'm reading a story, I'm trusting you to take control of the steering wheel and drive and take me where I want to go. And those are two very different functions of the brain. And when we want somebody to follow our trail throughout the sales letter, getting them in the brain mode of listening or reading a story is it definitely has its advantages. And I have a good friend who recently put out a book with a bunch of stories for sales messages. And I think that we would be doing a huge disservice if we didn't bring that up.
Yes, I am that friend. Full disclosure. So yeah, we've been talking about micro stories for a long time, something most people don't even realize are stories, but they are. And the fact is, many, many things we say as flat descriptions can be turned into stories pretty easily, as you've seen today. And that almost always works better in copy. And if you're doing live pitches in person. But the thing is, it's hard to shoehorn a lot of the things we say in copy into that long hero's journey format, because that's just one kind of story. And there are many others. That's why I want to talk about the Persuasion Story Code. It has templates for or we're 25 for 25 types of stories. Some of them are a little like a hero's journey story. An origin story can be formatted that way. So can a problem solution story. But a lot of them have nothing to do with the hero's journey. Instead of a string of boring bullet points no one will read, you can write an unexpected benefit story. Instead of writing a testimonial that wanders all over the place, you can format it as a story. Instead of trying to give an awkward, confusing, complicated, technical explanation, you can use a metaphor in a mechanism story. All of those things in the book. So I'd like to urge everyone who doesn't already have their copy of the Persuasion Story Code to get one. It's available on Amazon, and we'll put a link in the show notes.
And if you want to get the show notes for this particular episode or all of the 369 previous episodes, holy cow, we've done a lot of copy explaining over the years. Go check out copywriterspodcast.com while you're there. Like, subscribe, and leave us a review on your favorite podcasting app. We would appreciate it. And anything else before we're out of here, David?
No, that's it.
All right, sweet. So check out the show notes. There'll be a link right there that you can click to get a copy of David's most recent book. If you like what you listen to in this episode and you understand the power of all these different types of stories, there's so much more inside of the Persuasion. Is it Persuasion Story Code? Yep, Persuasion Story Code book. Man, wealth of knowledge and information there as well. And so I highly recommend checking it out. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Are you getting tired of using the hero's journey in your sales copy over and over again? My book, The Persuasion Story Code, will help you put together stories that convince your prospects and resolve their objections. If you are a copywriter, you'll appreciate that every single one of the 25 kinds of stories in this book have been proven time and time again in profitable sales copy. But I've also used these kinds of stories to close 5- and 6-figure deals for my own business, and so have many of my clients. These stories are easy to create and easy to tell. They sound like ordinary conversation, but they are all designed and proven to lead to a yes. You can get the Persuasion Story Code on Amazon.com. So get your copy today. Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.